My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The following is a high-five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at highfivecasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino!
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution, of course, each and every week, talking about the way the world is changing through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. Now, I try to bring to you some of the latest breaking news headlines every single week, and that's what we are going to talk about right now. There has been a lot going on. Now, like I said, I like to focus on politics, finance, and technology, but only at the intersection of those three things. We don't try to talk about those things on their own. We want to give you the context you need. Now, of course, as I talk about each and every week, it's technology that changes things more than anything. Technology is what changes the way the world works. And so the technology that's driving change right now is Bitcoin, is the decentralized technology that's bringing us this decentralized revolution I talk about each and every week. And, you know, when I talk about Bitcoin and this new technology that it's that's building off of that, you know, I don't typically talk about the price of Bitcoin. As I talk about a lot, I think that the price is a distraction. When you're looking at brand new technologies, you don't want to look at the price. You want to look at either, well, both. You want to look at the growth of the network. You're looking for network effects. You're looking for the growth of the network, and you're looking for development on the network. Those are two things that you want to see, and we are seeing that in a really big way. And a couple ways that you can measure this, I mean, obviously, we're looking at users, the growth of the network, and that'd be the amount of users. So it's the amount of wallets that we have, but it's also the amount of stores or companies or merchants that accept it. But we also look at the network itself, which is the mining capacity of the network. How many computers are plugged into the network, are helping process transactions, helping to secure the network. And we can see that it has hit a brand new all-time high. As a matter of fact, you measure it. So in a computer, you would measure it by the hash rate. That's the power of the computer. And you can look at the total amount of hash rate being put into the Bitcoin network. And we just passed 300 equihash. Now, I'm not going to break down what that really means, but just know it's a really big number. But more importantly, it took only about 1 year for the Bitcoin mining hash rate to gain 100 equihash. So to go from 2 to 300. So over a 30% increase in the size of the network in just a year. It's a pretty big deal. Really, really big deal. Now, we can see that part of that was, I think, really led by China getting rid of a lot of the mining. A lot of it was the price of Bitcoin had gone up so much that a lot of companies took out big loans. But either way, right now we are seeing the network itself get into new levels that we haven't seen before, which is pretty cool. And we can see that it's also growing in terms of its reach of the amount of people using it, and even, like I said, stores and merchants, and even countries. Now, we've talked a lot about El Salvador being the first nation to make Bitcoin legal tender, which I think is a little bit, who cares? Like, they made it legal tender. That's cool. I mean, I'm glad they did that. It brings a lot of attention to it. But anybody can accept Bitcoin if they want. It doesn't have to be recognized as legal tender for it to be used here in the United States. I hear people talking about, we need to make it legal tender in the US. It's like, no, we don't. Like, anybody, any store, any service provider could just accept Bitcoin if they want right now. We don't need to do that. But El Salvador did. And it's worked out pretty well for them. Now, a lot of people say it won't because the price of the Bitcoin isn't as high as when they first bought it. But it's brought them lots of other benefits, including it's brought them massive amounts of tourism, massive amounts of investment, which more than make up for any potential loss they might have had in some of the Bitcoin they bought. But what we can also see is that while this is happening and while it's starting to influence other nations to do the same, remember, growth of the network, other nations are starting to do this. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the central bank above all the central banks, does not like this. Matter of fact, they've been threatening El Salvador many times. We're not going to give you any more money. We won't give any more loans. We won't bail you out unless you drop Bitcoin. Now we're seeing someone saying the IMF, they're trying to scare other countries away from adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. Ever since El Salvador established that legal framework, the IMF has been trying to attack it and shut it down. They don't want other countries to do this. But it doesn't matter. It is growing. And as a matter of fact, El Salvador just grew into the United States. Interesting enough, they are planning to open an embassy in Texas. Not just an embassy, though, a Bitcoin embassy. The Central American country, El Salvador, wishes to open a Bitcoin embassy in the new ally of Texas. And this will aid the expansion and commercial of economic exchange projects. Now, Texas has sort of become the Bitcoin capital of the United States, maybe even the Bitcoin capital of the world, partly because Texas is probably one of the most, if not the most, pro-freedom states in the United States, but also because of the massive amounts of energy that they have. And so Bitcoin needs energy. It needs the miners need the power to run off of. And so Bitcoin has really found its home there in Texas. So it kind of makes sense that they would want to set up an embassy in Texas. Now, they're not just doing it in Texas. As a matter of fact, El Salvador also agreed to open a similar embassy in Lugano, Switzerland in October with the aim of encouraging adoption of Bitcoin across Europe. You know, it's sort of, we have to kind of think about the game theory and how this plays out, right? And so like any new technology, you have the first mover advantage, we'll just say. And El Salvador certainly leading on that. And of course, then what will be the next country to adopt it? And that's the race that we're seeing right now. And another big news, remember, we're looking at the growth of the network, but we're also looking for development on the network. And a big piece of development that happened on the network was this week, we got Bitcoin Ordinals, which brought NFTs. Now, if you love NFTs, like I know a lot of you do, now there's NFTs happening on the Bitcoin blockchain. This is real. It's done through what's called inscriptions. And so some updates, some upgrades on the Bitcoin network have allowed people to now put this code into there. And right now they're putting JPEGs. They're putting NFT transactions into this. Miners have earned nearly $600,000 in 2 months from these NFT projects, these ordinals that have been on there. And so a lot of people would say, well, what happens to the Bitcoin miners when there's no more Bitcoin to be mined? And the answer is always, well, transaction fees. So Bitcoin miners earn from transaction fees and from receiving new mined coins. If there's no mined coins, then they get transaction fees. And a lot of people say, well, will that be enough? Well, we don't know. We'll find out in 100 years. But will that be enough? Well, now we see that this is another really big source of revenue for these Bitcoin miners. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this. Do we really need JPEGs and NFTs on the Bitcoin blockchain? The answer is we don't know. My opinion is right now sort of like a wait and see. Let's see what happens. I think the free market will figure this out. Whatever seems to be the highest and best use case, whatever seems to have the best monetary incentives will probably win. But think beyond what this means for just NFTs and JPEGs. I mean, I don't think JPEGs need to be on there. But what about other types of things? Like, for example, 3D printed gun schematics, right? So as, of course, every nation wants to get rid of guns so they can put their people into oppression, most of the world doesn't have them. And now we can print them with 3D printers. And all you have to do is download the code. But of course, they don't want you to have the code. They're trying to delete that everywhere. And if I could store that 3D printed gun schematic, that code into the Bitcoin blockchain, the only censorship resistant and immutable blockchain, what could that do for the power balance of humanity? I think it'd be pretty big. Now, that's just one example. We don't know. Humans are no good at imagining the future, so we don't know really where this takes us. What we do know is this is a new building block. What we do know is we're finding new ways to develop on the Bitcoin blockchain, including ordinals. And so this is exciting. This is just the beginning. But what do you think? Hit me up on social media at @onemarkmoss. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what you think about ordinals, NFTs on the blockchain, or what you think could be potentially new use cases. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about the decentralized revolution each and every week. We're running down some of the latest breaking news this week, so you're up to date. I got a whole lot more to cover when I come back. You don't want to miss it, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
A collision between a Chinese jet and an American spy plane.
He came and rammed into our left wing.
With relations increasingly strained, what are the chances of things spinning out of control?
The Western world was asleep.
I'm Gordon Carrera. I'll be exploring the friction in this most important of relationships and asking, has the West taken its eye off the ball?
You cannot ignore China.
From BBC Radio 4, this is Shadow War, China and the West. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, of course, each and every week, just like we always do. If you miss any of this, don't worry, I always got your back. You can check me out on the podcast. Just search The Mark Moss Show on your favorite podcast player, iHeartRadio or iTunes, wherever you get your podcast app. And if you'd like to watch me and listen at the same time, you can find me on the YouTube channel. Just search Market Disruptors and you'll find all my archives there as well. And you can watch me and listen to me at the same time. And as always, hit me up on social media, man. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm at @onemarkmoss. Find me on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever. I'm pretty active. So send me a message. Tell me you're listening to the show. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, and any requests or questions that you have. I'm happy to get those for you as well. You know, talking about this decentralized revolution, always sticking on that theme, of course, looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology, I like to look at the latest breaking news so we can see how this is developing. And one thing that we saw this week was a lot of action coming from the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States. And it's not surprising to me. I've talked about extensively on this show and on my main YouTube channel, Mark Moss, and on lots of other shows, including Fox Business. I've talked extensively about how the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, and the US government overall was going to come and really start clamping down on cryptocurrencies. They have to do this because they look horrible. In my opinion, the SEC should shut down and disgrace their job. There used to be that thing, it was like you had one job. The SEC's one job is to protect consumers. That's their job, protect consumers. How well have they done? Did they protect them from Celsius? Did they protect them from FTX? And the answer is, of course not. Millions and millions of people lost everything, lost their entire life savings. They did nothing to protect them. They failed at their one job. They should shut down in disgrace and walk away in shame. But of course, they're not doing that. And instead, now they have to come back and try to regain some confidence. And now they're going to come way too heavy-handed, of course, right? Of course. And so here they are with the heavy hand coming after anything and everything that evenly seeming like it has nothing to do with securities at all. So what am I talking about? Well, the SEC is now slapping lawsuits just left and right. You got one. Right. Boom, boom, boom. And they went after Kraken, and Kraken said, hey, we're not even going to fight you. Here's $30 million. Just go away, kind of a thing. They came after a company called Paxos, which is a stable coin. So meaning you give me a dollar, I give you a dollar token back, and then you can exchange the token back for a dollar whenever you want. There's lots of stable coins that are out there. And most people have thought this is actually pretty good for the government. It's good for the United States. It's good for the Fed. It's good for the dollar because it makes more people use dollars. So now if you're in a country like Nigeria or in Turkey or in Argentina, and you're in a currency that's losing 100% of its value, losing everything, you need to get out of that currency as fast as you can. And what do you get into? Well, you can't get dollars, but what you could do is get a US dollar stablecoin, which is basically the same thing. And so all it does is get more people in the world into dollars. Now, indirectly through a dollar stablecoin, but it doesn't matter. Either way, it's the same thing. More people are using dollars than they were before. That should be a good thing. However, the SEC, one little arm of the government, is now coming after stablecoins. As a matter of fact, they sued this company called Paxos, which is interesting because Paxos is one of the most regulated and licensed companies. So not only are they in the United States and regulated and licensed in the US, they're also regulated and direct under the New York Department of Financial Services, the NYDFS, which is the most restrictive, the hardest jurisdiction to get licensed in, and they're licensed there. And they're going after them for this stablecoin, which is interesting because they're saying it's a security, but there's no expectation of profit. Like, I'm giving you a dollar, you're giving me a dollar token. When I give you the token back, you give me my dollar back. I don't expect you to give me $1.25. So I don't even know how it fits under that. I don't really care. I'm not a legal attorney. I'm not going to get into that. But what's interesting is that, well, one, it's taking away the dollar's dominance again, right? Which is strange. And it's interesting because, like I said, they should want that to happen, but they're seemingly taken away. So at a time when we want the dollars to be stronger, we want more people to use the dollar, you would think it'd be good. The problem is that now that the US government is coming after this so hard, specifically really the SEC is coming after it, but even the US government, the US government is attacking Tether, which is the largest stablecoin. Seemingly, it looks like the government, the SEC, et cetera, is trying to choose winners. And it looks like they've picked the winner, which they want Circle, which is USDC, to reign supreme. That's the one they control. And anything that's not USDC, they want to attack. So they're going after Tether. They went after Paxos because of the Binance USD, the BUSD. So anything that's not Circle, they want to attack. But what's interesting about it is that they could be shooting themselves in the foot. As a matter of fact, Binance CEO, Binance is the largest cryptocurrency exchange out there in the world. The CEO, CZ, says that the industry, the crypto industry, may start to use stable coins pegged to the euro, the yen, or the Singapore dollar instead of the US dollar. It says, it will probably start using these other currencies in the future, reducing its reliance on the US dollar-based stablecoins, according to Binance CEO CZ. They said that they could even start using gold as a standard of value instead of the US dollar. He says, quote, I think that the given the current pressure and current stances taken by the regulators on the US dollar-based stablecoins, I think that, as you said, the industry will probably move away to non-US dollar-based stablecoins. So you would think the US would want the stablecoins to be used because it puts more of the world into the dollar, which is what they want. At a time when you have Russia and China and the BRICS nations trying to de-dollarize, we're getting the governments can de-dollarize, but the people could get back into dollars when they weren't able to get dollars before. Now they can because of the stable coins. That is what they want. But the problem is that they're so restrictive. They're so heavy-handed. They're kicking so many people out that these crypto companies could just say, well, fine, we won't use the US dollar now. We'll use the yen. We'll use the euro. We'll use gold. Something that you can't censor us from. And so it's interesting. I guess it shouldn't be surprising. It's not surprising to me. That's how the government works. And ultimately, that's how all of this decentralized revolution works. So the more they squeeze to try to retain power, the more they try to censor us because they don't like what we're saying, the more they try to restrict our movement, restrict our movement of money, the more they do that, the more we look for solutions to get around those restrictions. And the more we get around them, the more they squeeze. And the more they squeeze, the more we push back. And the more we push back, the more they squeeze. And it's this never-ending cycle. And so they're leading their own demise. They're doing their own marketing for them. And so at a time when you would think they would want more people using the dollar and they're trying to protect their own interests, what they're probably going to do is shoot themselves in the foot and push more people away. Interesting. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution through the lens, of course, politics, finance, and technology. Talking about the latest breaking news headlines this week. And we got some big ones, some big, big stories coming up that I'm pretty excited to talk about. I'm pretty fired up about it. I was fired up talking about it before we even started recording. So I got a whole lot to cover when I come back. You do not want to miss what's coming up next. So don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We talk about the decentralized revolution, and I'm running through the latest breaking news headlines of this week. So you know what's going on, and you can see this transition that we're in as we move into this decentralized revolution. Now, something I talked about this week on my main YouTube channel, just Mark Moss on YouTube, which, by the way, if you want to listen to these and watch me at the same time, you can watch me on the Market Disruptors YouTube channel. But something I was talking about this week was this train crash that happened in Ohio. And I'm not going to get into all that. If you want to know more about what I think about that train, that the train derailment in Ohio and the chemical spill and all that, I just did a video on my main YouTube channel. Go check it out. But what I talked about at the end really seemed to struck a nerve with a lot of people. And what I talked about at the end was I called it the age of incompetence. And what happens is at the end of an empire, whether it's a 200, typically a 250-year lifespan of an empire or a 250-year lifespan of a democracy, it goes through six or really eight distinct stages from cradle to grave. And we're in this last kind of final stage, and I'm calling it the age of incompetence. People really like that, seem like, anyway. And what am I talking about? Well, you know, when it comes to Southwest Airlines in December having the largest outage, having to cancel every single flight, it's never happened before. Then the FAA had to shut down every single flight in the U.S. Because of some software problem. Then it happened in, I think, Canada and Australia. You know, planes can't seem to run on time anymore. Trains can't seem to run. Trains are derailing. Trucks are overturning. You know, we have food processing plants seemingly catching on fire, blowing up all the time, fuel refineries. And it could be an attack. A lot of people think it is. A lot of people think it's maybe, you know, some environmentalists or maybe even our own government doing these types of things. Maybe it's another country trying to do these things. Maybe it's the open border and the 5 million people that have come across and a few terrorists have come across and they're sabotaging our critical infrastructure. If you were going to do that, you would certainly attack high-value targets like where the train derailed right next to a river. So it could be that. However, it could also just be because of the age of incompetence. And so what do I mean by that? I mean, at the end of an empire, you have basically failing infrastructure. Those railroads, those locomotives, those the FAA software, the FAA towers, like that's old. That's 60, 70, 80 years old technology. We haven't updated that in a long time. The planes, they're old. We haven't updated them. And so, you know, the fuel refineries, some of these fuel refineries in the United States are 100 years old. Like, it's not going to work very good after 100 years, right? And so we have this aged country, this aged infrastructure. But on top of that, we also have people who are incompetent. So, and it's caused by any number of reasons. We have, obviously, in the train situation, they all tried to walk off the job. The Biden administration forced them back on the job. So maybe they're not happy. They don't feel respected. They don't feel fulfillment in their job. So they're disengaged. But it's also because of the way that we raise these kids. I saw this week another big airline, Lufthansa. They had lots of flights delayed. A German's flagship airline carrier, also the same thing, because their internet cables were severed. They're investigating whether this was due to a cyber attack. So it was an attack, or was it, you know, did the fiber just go bad? We don't know. But back to the point, we're seeing this happening more and more and more. And I think a lot of it has to do with this age of incompetence. And I saw these headlines that really caught my eye and really kind of got me angry. And so I thought I would just talk about them if you want to hear me go on a little bit of a rant. But basically, I saw this article, and it was about Baltimore's failing schools. And Baltimore's parent demands action after 23 schools report no math proficiency. Let me say that again. No math proficiency. It's a systematic failing is what it says here. This is a really big deal. So they went through all these schools and they looked at all of them. They did the tests or whatever. And none of the students can pass math. Maryland State Department of Education's 2022 state test results indicated the bombshell findings that no students across 23 schools were proficient in math. Well, let me ask you a question. What are schools supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be teaching. What are they supposed to be teaching? Now, I thought they were supposed to teach us how to read and write and do math. Math, science, English, history. They should be teaching us those things. But here, no students across all 23 schools were proficient in math. So what are they doing? Well, over here, you think that's bad. Over here, we have Chicago. Not a single student, again, not a single student is proficient in reading or math at 55 Chicago schools. Not a single student in 55 schools. Not one student met grade level expectations in either math or reading during the 2021-22 school year. Out of 649 schools, what are they supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be teaching. Now, we can argue what they're supposed to be teaching, but if you don't think that math and reading are like probably the two of the most important ones at the very top of the pile, then we have no conversation. Math, if you can't read and write and perform math, like, you failed. As a matter of fact, I think most of high school is pretty much pointless. Once you learn how to read and write and do math, like, you're kind of done. But they can't even teach that. But what are they teaching? Well, they're teaching how to be woke. They're teaching that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. They're teaching that there's no difference in biological sex. They're teaching that men can get pregnant. They're teaching preschoolers and kindergartners and elementary kids about transgenderism. Here where I'm at in California, maybe I would say that one of maybe some of the worst school districts, but now that I see this about Chicago and Baltimore, I'm not so sure. But here in California, in the middle schools, they're putting tampons in the boys' bathrooms. In a city, two cities over from where I'm at, in the schools, they're putting litter boxes in the bathrooms. Litter boxes in the bathrooms. Now, why would they put litter boxes? Well, who uses litter boxes? Cats use litter boxes. Cats. So why would they put litter boxes in the bathrooms? Well, it's for the students that identify as cats, of course. Like, what? Like, hang on a second. Well, hang on a second. This is for real, all right? This is not a joke. I'm serious. So students think they're cats, and the teachers oblige this by putting litter boxes in the bathrooms. They're supposed to be teaching. Like, how about, no, you're not really a cat. You're actually a human. How about that? How about that would be something we should teach? I mean, when I was in school, biology, I guess, was a lot different than it is now. I guess we weren't as woke, but we understood that humans and animals were different. We were not the same. Pigs, we dissected pigs because pigs were supposed to be the closest to humans. Not cats. We're not cats. How about as a teacher, like, hey, sorry, student, you're not a cat. You're just not, right? You're not a unicorn. You're a person. You're a kid. How about that? You're a boy. You're a girl. And you should go to the bathroom using a urinal or a toilet like everybody else. Maybe we should teach them how to use urinals. We're school. We're supposed to teach them. But no, instead of teaching them math, not a single student in Chicago is proficient in reading or math at 55 schools. Not a single one. Or Baltimore. Instead of teaching reading and writing and math, we're teaching them that they're a cat. And they should use a litter box, and we're putting it in the bathroom. Oh, man. If that doesn't get you mad and fired up, I don't know what will. And this leads to the age of incompetence. Where does this lead us? Does this lead to more skilled workers in the railroad and the airline industry? Does this lead to more trains and planes running on time and breaking down? No, this is the age of incompetence. Now, the good news is for you and I, all you got to do is be above average, and you could crush it. You don't have to work that hard. If you're just tuning in to listen to the Mark Moss Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, how the world is changing, I'm breaking some of the latest breaking news headlines this week. I got more. You think that's big? I got more to come. Don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone, goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High five.
High five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is changing as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And I'm running through some of the latest breaking news of this week so you can be caught up on exactly how this is all going down, how this is changing. Now, I talked about last week, but it's continued to dominate the news headlines, so we're going to talk about it again a little bit, and that is the balloons, the Chinese balloons that are flying over the United States. What does all of this mean? Well, we don't really know because we can't really get a straight answer out of anybody. And what happens is when we don't get straight answers out of anybody, then it leads to lots of speculation. Now, it would lead to speculation anyway, but in this case, we're getting lots of speculation. And we went from having one balloon to two balloons to three balloons to four balloons. And I've seen lots of different reports. I've spent a lot of time looking into this, more than I should have. And it seems like some people say that they were actually very sophisticated spy balloons and that they didn't really get any information from us because as they were flying over, they were trying to get pictures of our ballistic missile and nuclear military bases that we have. But as they saw them coming across, they just kind of closed up the doors and they didn't really see anything. That's, I see some, and some say maybe they weren't so sophisticated, maybe they weren't doing anything. Based off of all the data I've been able to gather, I err on more of the side of they were sophisticated, at least some of them were, and they were trying to capture this data, and we shot them down. But it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, because China first denied them, said, wait a minute, this wasn't ours. Then they went on to say, wait a minute, now, you know, we're going to retaliate because you shot him down. You've flown balloons over the United States a bunch of times, I mean, over China a bunch of times. And so now they're saying that it's an attack and now there's going to be retaliation from it. So there's like this narrative shift that's happening. And now it seems like as of yesterday, they're trying to, you know, there's been a lot of talk about UFOs. The government seems to be shutting down the UFO thing. But now there's almost like this kind of narrative shift where they're saying, well, maybe it's not this. So we don't know. And so that's not what I want to talk about. What I do want to talk about, though, is why are we all talking about this? We talk about what they want us to talk about. They being the people pulling the strings, the governments who control the media. So pretty much all the media, mainstream, so CNN and CNBC and MSNBC and ABC and CBS, they all get their same talking points from one group, and whatever they decide to push is what most people talk about. So the question is, why are we talking about balloons and not talking about other things? Like, for example, the train derailment that happened in Ohio. A massive chemical spill affecting all the farmland, some of the best farmland in the United States, right on the Ohio River that feeds into the Mississippi River. Like, this is a massive ecological problem that could potentially have been an attack. Even if it's not, even if it was an accident, we should probably say that. And we should probably also talk about the damage that's going to happen. We should probably warn people, tell them to put N95 on masks. I mean, you had to wear masks for COVID, but you don't have to wear it for this, apparently. And so the question is, why is no mainstream news talking about that? Now, on Twitter, you see it happening. That's where the people talk. Obviously, I'm talking about it. I did a whole YouTube video. You can check it out on my main YouTube channel, just Mark Moss. I did a video on it. So people are talking about it, but why is mainstream completely silent? Now, Tucker Carlson on Fox did a piece, but no mainstream news. So the question I ask is, why do they want us talking about these balloons and why do they not want us talking about the train? The balloons caused no damage. It didn't affect anybody. There's no damage. There's no one's house. No one died. No animals are dying. No water was polluted. No farmland was ruined. So why are we talking about balloons? And that's the question that we should be asking. Well, my answer to that is, unfortunately, why do they want us talking about these balloons? Why are they saying they're coming from China? And what is the sentiment they're trying to get us about China? Well, we're mad at China. We're angry at China. China's spying on us. And now they can drum up rhetoric or sentiment to beat the drumbeats of war against China some more, potentially. They're saying that China has more intercontinental ballistic missiles than the U.S. does, so we should probably give more money to the military-industrial complex so they could build more weapons, I guess. Now, the people, you and I, we're not gonna be happy giving even more money to the military unless we can think that we're really in a big threat here. If we see a big threat, then maybe they could get the people to support giving more money to the military-industrial complex. Now, I talk about this because what we're seeing is as we move into this decentralized revolution, as we're going from a unipolar world where the U.S. homogeneity controls everything to a multipolar world with Russia, China, this is going to lead to us not all being friends anymore. This is going to go from a place of global cooperation, we're all friends, to now competition. Instead of cooperation, it's competition. And unfortunately, war is one of those things. And so now it's a competition of who has the most weapons, who has the most deterrent systems, and all those things. And we can see this in a lot of different areas. We can see this week that apparently the Philippines now, China apparently attacked the Philippines, shining some laser lights in their eyes. There's like this laser report talking about how Chinese boats went after Philippine boats and shined lasers in the eyes, causing temporary blindness. They did very dangerous maneuvers in the water, blocking the delivery of food and supplies. And this is like a direct attack on the Philippines. So now the Philippines and the United States are going to join together. The U.S. is going to protect the Philippines. Now we're carrying out the biggest joint military drills since 2015. So Washington is redoubling its efforts to go against China and to now ally with Philippines. So we're allying with Taiwan, we're allying with the Philippines, and you can see what's happening here, right? As this world is breaking apart, everybody's scrambling to find out who's on whose team. And maybe some of this is even being done to even build that sentiment even more. So now, supposedly, Philippines got attacked by China. And so now the U.S. is going to side. Now the Philippines will come to side with the U.S. Now they could have easily gone and sided with China. So we're seeing how all this shakes out. And it's happening in real time. We see that the IMF put out this report this week warning that the world needs to prepare for the unthinkable, they say. Needs to be prepared to better handle shocks and the unthinkable. She referenced Georgina Kristalina, the head of the IMF, referenced the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, saying, hey, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. Who knows what could happen? So they're preparing us. They're preparing us. Now, of course, the IMF is preparing a little bit differently. They want to get ready to play a stabilizing role with the money, because they're a banker. When all you have is a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. And when you're a banker, all you have is money. And it says that they're ready to put in $40 to $48 billion into the Ukraine economy to prepare for this stabilization. So is it all about money? Is it all about war? Is it all over the dollar? Right now, we have more questions than answers. But what I can tell you is that the world is decentralizing. We are witnessing the decentralized revolution. And each one of these are signs to show us that we are getting further and further down this road, and we're not coming back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maas Show. We talk about the decentralized revolution each and every week, talking about the way the world is breaking apart as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And of course, technology, typically we're talking about Bitcoin, which is the decentralized technology, which is giving us what we need as the world decentralizes. If you missed any of this show, you can catch it on your favorite podcast player. Just search The Mark Maas Show. You can watch and listen on YouTube under Market Disruptors and hit me up on social media at @OneMarkMoss. I'd love to hear from you. And that's what I got. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.